Amen. We're in the book of Esther, chapter. We're going to start by looking at something again in chapter 1. Esther, chapter 1. And we're going to see, although we're not going to read all of the first part of the chapter, we're going to see that this is a story about a king who threw a banquet for his people. And so Esther chapter 1 and verse 5, "And when these days were fulfilled, the king made a feast unto all the people who were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, even 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace." And it talks about all of the wonderful things that he did there in this feast and for these people. And I think we lose sight of the fact that this isn't just a story of a bride and a bride's situation. It's a story of a king who wanted to bless his people, and it starts with that. It starts with a king who threw a banquet and called the people to himself. And, you know, you can tell by the rest of the verses down here that he wanted to make it special. That he wanted to make it special. Could it be possible that we could actually miss some of the meaning of the book of Esther by not realizing how it all started? With something in the king's heart toward his people, and that he wanted to have this banquet, and he wanted to call his people to him, and wanted to make it special, and he wanted to give them special food and special drink. He went out of his way very delicately. You can read it. And I think one of the other things that we miss that's so important here is that he blessed his people with his presence. These people didn't get to spend that much time in his presence. And he blessed his people with his presence. The king did that, being a picture of Jesus. And then in the midst of that, you don't start the story down here. You start the story up here. In the midst of that, he wanted his bride to be seen as one after his kind, one that was him, one that was of him, one that, again, was after his kind. And he wanted the people to see that. Now, this is important. This is so important. That the Lord has a big picture that he's moving within. And we don't want to miss the big picture, or it's just about us and where we're at and what we're trying to achieve. And we want the Lord. But we want the Lord on his basis and not just on our basis. And within this story, There's two women. There's Vashti and there's Esther. Within the context of this story, there's Vashti and there's Esther. And I think when you share something like these kind of scriptures, we begin to, you know, the question would arise, who am I, you know? Who are you? Are you Vashti or are you Esther? And, you know, the Lord was just dealing with me. Why? It's as if the Spirit of God said to me, why are we in the book of Esther at this time? Why are we here? Why is it happening right now? Why is that going on? And The Spirit of God reminded me of something that I learned when I was in Bible school, and that was that the Bible and the Bible stories or the Bible situations, they're not one-sided. And we tend to, especially 2,000 years later, New Covenant, we tend to miss this aspect. Especially we who are deeper life, we tend to spiritualize everything. But I was taught in Bible school that, for example, the captivity, that every situation is first literal, that it's historical to us, but it was literal. Israel was what it was at that time, spiritually not too well, but it was an actual situation. But there was that it also represented something prophetically, not just literally historically, but prophetically, and then thirdly, spiritually. And I don't speak a lot in terms of prophetically, but it's still true, and it's still true that God deals with us in those manners. He'll deal with us literally in our history. But at the same moment, there can be prophetic meanings or prophetic reality within that, and we may miss that. I think Israel missed it. They didn't believe the prophets and killed them. Scriptures say that. And then finally, that there's a spiritual meaning, and I think we're quick to grab hold of that spiritual meaning. But as I began to meditate on what he was saying, I remember, and keep your place here in Esther, but I remembered over in Matthew 23, Jesus speaking over Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit, I think, reminded me of this because of the prophetic implications also. And it's over in Matthew 23. See if I'm correct here. Please be right. Yeah. It's funny because I was in a hurry this morning when the Holy Spirit wrote it, and I don't have it here. It's probably right here before my eyes because I just did it real quick. But you know the story, and the story was that Jesus was overlooking Jerusalem, and I heard your prayers today. I heard people crying out, "Don't let us miss the time." And Jesus was overlooking Jerusalem and basically wept over Jerusalem, and he said and spoke. And he said, you know, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you." Is it? Thank you. Verse 37. Which verse did I say? That's because I didn't know which one it was. I thought I would remember, you know. Verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." See that? You see that? Prophetic. I don't want any prophetic implications to my life, that the Lord may be actually speaking into my life prophetically about something that may come in relationship to what's happening now. And that's what's going on with Jesus. He's literally there. He's also speaking prophetically, and the context all around it will show that. And he's saying, "Here's what's going to happen, and here was my heart, and that is that I wanted to gather you unto me." And I thought of Ephesians. And again, I didn't jot all this down because the Holy Spirit was speaking so much. And it says that he might gather together in one all things, meaning us, that he would gather us in one, like a hen, if you've ever seen it. The chicks get underneath her, and you don't see the chicks, you just see her. Well, Jesus is the same way. We've been gathered together into him, But the scriptures don't say we were gathered together in oneness. It says we were gathered together in one. I mean, does anybody see that there might be a greater meaning from the heart of God than just, you know, and that is that there are all these benefits from oneness, but we never acknowledge the one. And if we miss that, Jesus is saying, this doesn't look good where this is heading. Now, you saw that in the captivity. You know, Israel was spiritually off for a long, long time, right? Then God started sending the prophets. And then the prophets started saying, look, see, then the word is not just spiritual, it's prophetic. Amen? And this that is literal and historical right now is going to end up prophetically a certain place if you don't listen to God. And if you don't take that not just prophetically, but spiritually into yourself and let the be changed. That's why Jesus' words are just so clear. I would have gathered you, you would not. That's what it says here. I had something, and you weren't with me in it. Does it sound like any story we've been studying in the last bunch of Sundays with Vashti? I would have. You wouldn't. You know? And Jesus is the one who's weeping here. They're not. You know, Jesus is the one that's concerned. And then, let's see. Let me just make sure that I read all of it. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them who are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Okay, let's go back to verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. So he's saying everything's not just spiritual. Okay, it's all spiritual, so here's the deal. If it's all spiritual, the Lord's wanting me to seek him, but if I don't do it, you know, Jesus still died for me and everything's good. And if there's no spiritual implications, we feel, you know, it's okay, whatever we do is fine, praise God. Let's just do what we do, you know, based on our heart instead of his heart. And I've felt this from way back, but I felt like in the service today, the Holy Spirit confirmed this with the way people were crying out and the specifics. Jesus said that you missed the time of your visitation in this thing. He says you missed the time of your visitation. I was there. I was speaking, I cared, I reached out with nail-scarred hands, and you would not. Okay, the prophets sometimes say, well, you did, but feignedly, meaning half-heartedly, lukewarm. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. This lukewarm stuff is not good, you know. But if he speaks prophetically, then, and in my way of thinking, that could be to me personally or to you personally. But I would think certainly to those of us who have been around here for a while. You understand what I'm saying? You're off the hook, brother. You're off the hook. There's several more young people I could point out, but that the Lord primarily, certainly, because Israel, after so long a time, you know, it was like, okay, look, I love you. I still love you. I'm still moving. I'm still active. But here's the story. You know, if you don't get this, I'm going to use a different method. And, you know, and it was called captivity. Well, you know, first of all, I don't like saying stuff like this because I don't, you know, I don't like scaring people. I really don't. I'm not a scary kind of person anyway. Well, I guess that Oak Cliff, Texas side is part of it, but yes, anyway. But the truth is that I sense, and I would be, what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't tell you that I sense prophetically that God's going to do something with some people if they don't get it, and it's wrong for you to think about somebody else when I say that. It's just wrong. It's so wrong. It means you're probably the one. No, it does. You know? Because clearly you're not getting it and you think you got it. Well, that's exactly the Pharisees. And this, you know, what chapter are we in here? I mean, if you look at my Bible, man, we're red letter through about four or five chapters leading up to this, which means it's all Jesus speaking. And a bunch of it is to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you. Does that sound like what something Jesus wants to do? But that's, he said, when he said Jerusalem, he didn't say, well, the good people in Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, all of you. And the spiritual meaning, I think we're sort of getting, mentally at least, that he wants us to seek his heart. That's what he wants from us, that he wants us to seek his heart. But that's not all. The question I jotted down that I felt like almost the Holy Spirit was asking me was, why the book of Esther at this time? Why that? You know, it could have been anything, amen? Why the book of Esther at this time? And then this story starts opening with something that was in his heart toward his people that he wanted to show them through his bride. So many times, if you ever looked up this little phrase that Jesus said, you'd be shocked how many times it's in the Bible. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. You'd be shocked. Could that mean that Jesus could actually speak something knowing there some are not going to get it? You know? Well, around here, we've had so many moves in the way that God has done this or whatever, that or something, that we're just used to Jesus on a certain level. Maybe than a level other people are not used to. I don't know. But I know one thing. If the Holy Spirit has something in his heart that he wants Jesus to come into, this is the picture we get from Genesis with Eliezer bringing the bride to Isaac. And he's spending all of his time and energy trying to get her ready. How do you think he's going to feel the closer he gets to the tent where Isaac is, where the union's going to take place? And he's going, you're not even close to ready. You're not even close. So I mentioned that little phrase that, you know, when we get to the first chapter there in Esther. Who are you, Vashti or Esther? Let's go back to Book of Esther. First chapter, and I want to read verse 5 again, and then I'd like to read two other verses in that first chapter. Esther 1, verse 5, "And when these days were fulfilled, the king made a feast unto all the people who were present in Shushan the palace, both under great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace." And again, reminding you, if you read the rest of the verses, it is the king's heart. He's trying to feed us. He's trying to get us close to him. He's trying to do something special for his people, and he wanted in the midst of that to show that which was after his kind in somebody else besides himself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He wanted to show his bride. He wanted to show something after his kind, and he wanted to bring that in. So, let's look at verse 10 through 12. "On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded that guy right there and this one and those guys, the seven chamberlains who served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king enraged and his anger burned." All right. So he's got, I mean, come on, let's just look at this. Let's look at it like just a regular king and this happening, or Jesus, the king, and it happening. He's got something in his heart. He has prepared this whole thing, this feast, for all these people. Every one of them had a special, different cup. You know what I mean? He made that. That says, "You're a special vessel to me, but we're all one." You know? And I'm going to fill you with the new wine, and on and on and on and on. And so for him, the big moment when he's at the height of merriment, he goes, "I want to bring in my wife. And I want you to see that which is me. And I want you to see the beauty that can be found. I want all the people to see that there's another step from just being Christian or in the kingdom to bride. And I want it to just glow out of it." Book of Revelation, one of the last chapters, it says, "And have you seen the bride, da 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 da? And I saw her, and she was coming down from heaven." She wasn't going up, she's coming down, having the glory of God.
Yes, Lord.
I see Jesus. I see beauty. You see what I'm saying? And this is his heart, and this is his moment. Doggone it, when it goes bad, he gets upset.
That's right.
Because prophetically, you understand why I'm saying that, throwing that in right now? Because prophetically, he's going to have to deal with it on a prophetic way now, because he can't deal with it on a spiritual way. It's too late. Hello?
Yes.
Is that true or not? He was happy. He was, you know, he was bragging on her. And then it was enraged, you know, enraged. I mean, you don't see Jesus enraged looking over Jerusalem, but you certainly see his heart ripped out. Amen? Because he didn't want that. He didn't want that. It broke his heart more than we can know, you know, when it brings you to tears. And so what we have here, and here's what the Spirit of God began to share with me over this stuff, was that there were two brides and two feasts. The other bride and the other feast is going to be in the second chapter. Two brides and two feasts. So let's go over to the second chapter, and let's look at verse 17 and 18. "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Notice it didn't just say made her queen, but made her queen instead of Vashti. "Then the king made a great feast." Look at that. Only wait till you see this feast. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release from taxes to the provinces and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. Well, King Jesus has lots of bounty. Everybody benefits when the king's happy. So you could say everybody benefits when he gets the desire of his heart. And the desire of his heart isn't just a kingdom of people, is it? He's got that. But just be happy, Jesus, my God. You know? But you see, all this started with he had something in his heart, and the first feast didn't make it. You see what I'm saying? And the first bride didn't make it. So he's got this thing in his heart. So I wrote down again my question. Why are we in Esther? Well, it's a story about a king who threw a banquet for his people and wanted them to see his bride. Wanted them to see something after his kind, and that made him happy that I got something that's one with me and is after my kind, okay? Yeah. No. No. That's right. It's not a religious thing. It's a relational thing. You know. Good. Yeah. All right. So his eye in both cases was on either Vashti or Esther. It wasn't on the people. Right? Think of it. Think about it. That's where the eyes of his heart. His heart. And his eyes were on Vashti to bring her in, was on Esther. And it says he looks at her and he loves her and he, you know, he's moved at Esther. And then he calls a feast. And this feast is different. I'm not just blessing the people and wanting to show off my bride. I'm blessing my bride. This is what's important. Amen? Come on, there's a change. There's a change of, you know, administration. There's a change of the way things are being administrated. They're not based on this system. They're based on this heart. They're not based on a system of orderly events. They're based on his heart. He's moved by something that counts deep within him. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He was moved by something that counts and didn't come into it. I mean, if you listen to those words in Matthew, it's his heart crying out. It's not Jesus going, well, if you just, you know, not going to do what I want, you know. It's not vengefulness or meanness. It's what he wished for. But you know, we have free will. You do know that, don't you? So you have free will for what? You have free will every day to do whatever you want. You have free will to do every day I can't even say that, Lord. I know, it needs to be said. But I'm not the right person to say it because it'll sound like it's testifying somehow of me, and it's not. And I won't do that. I won't violate that spirit, even if you have to lose out. So you ask God what it was that that could have been said, because I can't violate that spirit with him. I wrote, his eye was on Vashti or Esther, not the people. His eye was on how well she showed them that which is after his kind. And he wanted, get this, he wanted a demonstration at the banquet. Amen? All right, let's talk about the conference. This is the way the Holy Spirit said it to me. I was the one shocked. I was the one set back. I was the one not realizing why we are in Esther at this time. Okay, here's my mind. Lord, why are we in Esther at this time? Why is it all about you and it's not about us or this and that? It's about you, and then you got the conference coming up. But this is my mind. And he said, well, I'll tell you. You know, if we just ask, a lot of times we don't ask. You know, I got a question, but I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to muse it over and over, roll it over in my mind, and then walk off and maybe still go, you know, I don't get this. You know, it's nice to talk to the Lord. So I said, Lord, what is the deal? What is the story of the conference this year? What is the story of the conference this year? And he said, it's not a conference. It's a banquet. There you have it. It's a banquet. It's a gathering of people that he wanted gathered so he could demonstrate the spirit of his bride. Wow. Wow. That's what it's about. That's why it's set in this time period. And that's why, if prophetically, if Vashti doesn't show up, if she doesn't respond, if she doesn't demonstrate him, there's going to be a prophetic implication down the road. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Prophetic implication around the, down the road. It fits with the story. It fits with Matthew 26. It fits with the general way of God when it comes to literal, prophetic, and spiritual. It fits that our King has something in his heart, and that involves, from the very beginning, a gathering of his people to a place that he, how did we word that up here? That he wanted to make it special. A king through a banquet for his people. He wanted to make it special. He fed them special food. He blessed them with his presence. And in the midst, he wanted his bride to be seen as his kind. All right. So, let's go to the literal story in the book of Esther, the actual event that happened thousands of years ago. Okay, let's go to that. That was just a story. Okay? That was just a story. It was actual. I mean, you know, it was actual. Okay, so we're good with that, right? All right. Prophetically, the implications could be that was actually demonstrating something of the king's heart that in certain situations, those situations were bigger to him than other situations. Because, you know, one reason why that was such a bad deal with Vashti is it was in front of everybody, and he was wanting, you know, to bless them with seeing something. That's where the prophetic implications came from. And in that story, there not only was a literal story, there was a prophetic implication that happened to Vashti, right? Okay. Spiritually, we see Jesus there, and spiritually we see that, I'm going to put it on maybe, just for whatever reason. Yeah. That spiritually, maybe the Lord is showing a pattern of importance in relationship to his heart, the things, the settings, the setting in motion that he sets. Say, well, why didn't he do it last year? Last year's conference wasn't the time. He probably figured there wasn't a bride to be found. Let's be honest, baby, you know. Or the year before, or the year before. Well, those years we were supposed to have a conference. This year we're supposed to have a banquet. Wait a minute, who's cooking? Oh, sorry. Meaning what? We're supposed to sit down at the same table with Jesus. But more than that, as the people of God, can I just say it like this? We're not actually supposed to sit down at the table with Jesus. We're bringing in those people. We're supposed to demonstrate the bride. We're supposed to demonstrate that after his kind spirit before all of them. They're the ones being called in, right? They're the ones who Jesus in his heart wants to bless and wants to make it special and wants to feed them with special stuff. Isn't that interesting that he wants to feed them with special stuff? And we're not talking about natural food. I have no clue what he's going to do or what he's going to share. I don't, you know, it's like I don't prepare like, oh, this will be my conference teaching, a year in advance or whatever. I don't do that. I barely get ready for Sunday morning, okay, or Thursday. It's like, you know, I'm telling you, just getting ready for Thursday, 2 hours, and Sunday morning, with everything else going on, it is like I'm running like a madman trying to keep up. It is. And I have to hear from the Lord, amen, on Sunday, on Thursday. Don't you think I need to really hear from the Lord? And it's just, you know, say, well, let's let somebody else preach. I will when the Lord releases me. But doesn't it seem funny that I'm teaching all the time? And I've never done this. I don't know in the history of, you know, since I said, no more one-man show, I'm not going to be the only preacher, which is probably back on Bolivar. At best, 2 Sundays in a row. This is something different. And I know it, and I think most of you know it. This is something different. And so, special food. I don't know what that is. I've gotten a little glimpse. Me and Cassie talked to Kelly about a children's program, and it's going to be about Esther. And frankly, I want to sit in there. I think it's going to be so good. I'm serious. I think it's going to be so God. It's going to be so good. So good, I was telling her, well, just get the kids to work this thing up and come in here and we'll just make that the conference. But I think there's going to be more. I think there's going to be special food. And I think that there's going to be special vessels that are here. all of them individual, like it says. But they're drawn here by the king. The king made those vessels. And then the king drew them all together at a specific time, not just to bless all of them, but to demonstrate that which is after his kind to them in something other than his own vessel. That he could, Abraham, you're going to bring forth a seed, and all the promises will be fulfilled by that seed, not you. That seed is, you know, and that seed is in that woman, that bride, that one after his kind, and she's meant to. Now, see, here's the prophetic part is she may not. She may say no. Or she may say, I'm busy ministering, and he's thinking, your only ministry is to be with me where I am and demonstrate that to the people I've called and to fulfill the truest, highest calling of the banquet. But I got a minister. Does that mean there isn't going to be ministry going on? Yes, ministry of demonstrating Jesus through us. Because it's his time. It's not our time. And some, you know, I'm sure some of you said, well, it's his time, so I'm not going to do anything. You know, I missed it up. There you have it. Alarm, warning. Warning. Danger, Will Robinson. I'll let them figure out what it is. You know, I'll tell you straight up. The enemy, just before I got up here, I've never had this happen before. I don't have too many notes today. But the enemy made my iPad do something that it had never done before. And it froze up completely and wouldn't do anything off, on, wouldn't go. It was just like crazy. I mess with it first on a tech basis. I'll get this going, you know. In the name of Jesus, you know. Boom, I knocked it off. It starts coming back on. It's like doop-doo-doo. Jim's ready. He's finishing up praying. He's about to call me up. It's barely coming up. I'm going, Lord, you hit me with this stuff so fast yesterday that I'm not going to be able to remember everything. And just before I walked up here, I think this is the kind of material we're talking about here that the enemy likes to attack. Because it's important to him. He's anti-Christ. He's not anti-you. No, devil's anti-Randy. No, he's not. He's fine with me because he figures he's got me, you know what I mean? But he don't have Jesus. He doesn't have Jesus. All right. So, basically, the bottom line is this. This Esther is a story. The conference is a story of how we will appear before his people. How we're going to appear during this banquet. If you want it to be about Jesus, then get out of the way. And here's the way I mean that, though. You know, when new creation first started, first inklings, I left the ministry because I was burnt out and so discouraged over what appeared to me to be a lack of Christ, not just in me, but in everything I seemed to be involved with. And it was breaking my heart. It was killing me. But it was also about the lack that was in me. And I determined that my family was just going to seek the Lord with all of our heart. And if we didn't get the Lord, then forget it. I mean, as far as the ministry. But I was determined to get the Lord because I just wanted the Lord. And most of you know a little bit of the story, how people just kept coming to our home and on Sunday morning, and it was filling up. And I wouldn't get up and preach. I wouldn't say anything. And I would sit in the farthest corner, and many times I would just sit there and cry. And everybody else was kind of going, you know, is there anything going to happen here? But they knew it was God. They knew God gathered them, but it was just, and I just, and finally I was sitting over there, and several people said, Randy, just get up and share, or just get up and just say something. Because they kept coming to the door saying, God's raising up a new church and you're going to be the pastor. And I was saying, no, he's not, and I'm not. And he did. And I'm the idiot. I'm always the last one to know what's going on. And I remember sitting in that corner, finally, one Sunday, and I was weeping. And someone's turned around the little corner and said, Randy, share something. And I said, I just want it to be Jesus. I just want it to be Jesus. And he said, well, don't let it be you. Get up and let it be Jesus. I went, I've been sitting there 2 months. You know, this should scare y'all, doesn't it? That your pastor is like this. I'm that dumb, and I'm, you know, and over I demonstrate that. I don't know how y'all put up with me. All Jesus is asking you is just let it be Jesus. If something comes up that's not Jesus, here's the deal. What can be Jesus, let that be Jesus. And if something comes up that's not Jesus, say that's not Jesus, so that's not going to happen. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to get upset over that. I'm not going to want, you know, something more than what's happening or whatever. I'm just going to be with you, and I'm going to demonstrate you to everybody. To the different people that irritate me, I'm giving them Jesus. In other words, to them, it's going to be about Jesus through me. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be about Jesus. They're going to meet Jesus in his bride. They're going to meet Jesus in something, a vessel apart from him, if you understand what I mean. And I'm going to be with Jesus. When he calls me, I'm going to answer the call with that which is him. So in the middle of the conference, you may not hear Jesus' voice go, Esther, step forward. You may hear Kelly or Cassie or me or somebody say, you know, would you do so and so? And it's not about doing, you understand. I'm trying to just paint a picture of something that you could go, well, I've got too much already, or you know. No, answer the call with Jesus. Demonstrate being his own, his bride, his spirit. You say, well, I'm not ready for that. Well, good, the conference isn't ready yet either. The banquet, right? We still got a little while yet. Basically 2 months. I'm sure you'll be perfect by then. You know what I'm saying. This is a heart thing. This is a heart for Jesus. You say, well, I just want to have a heart for Jesus. Well, just do it. Get up from the corner and get up there. Be with the Lord for a change. Be with the Lord. I hope you hear the spirit of this. So let's just stand together and pray. Father, I thank you that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to overshadow me and speak to me about things that are precious to Jesus' heart. Father, I know that Jesus doesn't want to have to come tell me what's in his heart and talk me into doing something. So thank you that you, Father, allowed the Holy Spirit to speak on his behalf and to open my eyes and my hardness and my full of other things person. Open me up more to what is in your heart this year at this time. Why Esther at this time? Because that's your doing. Why the conference coming up at the exact moment that it's coming up? Because it's your banquet. It is your banquet. And shame on me and shame on any of us who have made it anything other than that. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Lord, we would even use the phrases that it's about you and literally use that phrase to not be about you. Help us, Lord. We're so wrong. We're so messed up, Father. We really, 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 really want you, Jesus. And we want the Holy Spirit to have freedom to do things in us this year that when it's over, we would say, oh my God, it was about Jesus, even in me. Father, grant that. And Father, may the people that come, may they see the heart of the King also, not just in his bride, but see his heart by setting a table, by making a banquet that they could come and eat the food at his hands and be in his presence. And he could walk among his people and they could see that we're part of this and they could be brought in. And they could receive all of the special things that he wants to do for them. But Lord, may the highlight for them be the highlight for Jesus also. That they see, even as he sees, his bride being manifest among the people in the midst of the banquet. Father, Father, Father. We are not foreigners. We are not enemies. We are of you. We are of your nature and your spirit. And we fail and we falter, but our hearts are with you. And our goal is to be exactly what you need, Jesus. Our goal is to be what you need. Teach us what that is, and I don't mean educate us. I mean, so husband us that certain things will just come out of us naturally because we're yours. Let others see it. Let the people at the banquet see it. And let it affect them. And when the banquet is over, may they go back not just with word of a good conference, but with a beautiful banquet. And with more than that, a view of Esther, the bride. A view of one as he sees her. And their eyes will never be the same. They will have seen it can happen in the flesh. Bless your people, Father. And bless this bride in this place. And Father, for whatever reason you brought up by your Spirit about the prophetic implications, speak to your people, whoever that is or whatever that is, about that, Lord, and give them a new sense of urgency to find you, that your spirit will not strive with flesh forever, a new urgency to be with you, spirit, soul, and body, literal, prophetic, and spiritually. Father, we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed. Some of you may want to just make an altar where you are and just pray a few minutes beforehand. And those of you who are being dismissed, if you'll just be mindful. And you might want to make sure, whoever can do this, to make sure if anybody's missing from here that they get a copy, because this is important, people, that we all hear this. Amen. We're dismissed. Be led of the